Following is an encore presentation of Music Heads. While we're on holiday break, though, we've still got a discussion going on our website that we'd love for you to chime in on. We've been talking about our favorite songs of the year, and if we haven't heard from you yet, we want to know what yours are. Go to thecurrent.org, look for Music Heads, then click on Join the Discussion. Hey, how are you? You found Music Heads presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Thanks for dropping by. This is a weekly chat where a couple of colleagues and I gather around and have a little fun discussing some of the new music we're playing on the station and to find out if it's working for us. I'm the host of the show, Bill DeVille, and it's my pleasure to welcome today's guests. Our overnight host is back in the house. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
It's Radio's Jill Riley. Nice to have you back again.
Thank you.
And Radio Free Current host David Campbell is in the house as well. Hi, David.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Welcome back. And let's get the show on the road. At 34, Ryan Adams has been making music for almost 20 years. At 15, he began writing songs and formed his first band called the Patty Duke Syndrome. After their demise, he formed Whiskey Town. They broke up in the late 90s with Ryan embarking on a solo career. Adams has made his mark as a first-rate songwriter, making some excellent albums along the way, including his debut, Heartbreaker, back in 2001. He made the album Gold and his very underrated album with the Cardinals, Cold Roses. But his music has always been a little inconsistent. He wasn't very good at editing himself and released so many albums it was hard to keep up, and he had this nasty drug habit. Since cleaning up his act years ago, his music is more consistent and more passionate. It showed on his 2007 release, Easy Tiger, and is even more evident on his latest, Cardinology. The album is a neatly crafted effort with sharp songwriting, chops, and passionate, soulful vocals. You hear hints of Neil Young, The Grateful Dead, as well as more modern sounds of U2 and Wilco. It's Ryan Adams and the Cardinals from his new Cardinology album, and what I think is the album's highlight, it's called Cobwebs.
Somewhere impossible light still shines, and every smile is if it's new. Sometimes I feel like the static in the attic is making me just confused. If I fall, will you catch me? If I'm sorry, sorry enough. If I fall, will you pity me? Will you confuse my love for the cobwebs?
Ryan Adams detailing his battles with substance abuse and his struggles to sustain relationships, and does so with clarity on that song, Cobwebs, from the new Cardinology album, Ryan Adams and the Cardinals. Jill, is this working for you, the album?
I will start by saying I appreciate what Ryan Adams does, because I like the alt country genre. I like that I can like country music but find some good country music to listen to, I guess is a way to put it. I appreciate how he pays homage to his influences and what came before, but this is something that I could put on a Saturday while I'm cleaning the house and I would completely enjoy it. But for me, it's kind of like laid back, and I guess that's why I would put it on as background music. If that, I don't know, and that's not entirely a bad thing. I think the highest point for me for Ryan Adams was Jacksonville City Nights, so this is just a little too mellow for me, but I almost appreciate it because of like the time of season that it came out in.
That's Jill, where did you listen to track number 4, Magic?
I did, and I... That kind of, it just stuck out like a sore thumb to me.
Because it's straight up rocker. I hear hints of U2.
But the guitar tone almost bugs me too much to listen to it. It's got a weird, like, heavy 80s rock guitar in it. Does that make sense?
Edge?
Yeah. Well, not even an edge, but kind of like...
You're like a rain cloud. If it rained mushroom clouds, everybody hits the ground. Arms folded, head down. You're like a missile strike. Government goes underground. Warhead on.
I hear your U2 on the one you pick, Cobwebs. There's the big Bono finish at the end.
But how about that vocal on that song? That's what I think is terrific. And I've always kind of been amazed by his vocal ability. He seems to do it with such ease. This guy was meant to be a singer and songwriter, wasn't he?
You make an interesting point. I never thought of that. He was meant to be a singer. And in a way, he was. He's a looker to start out with, which means that as a rock and roller, you're one step ahead of everybody else. He's also kind of a shapeshifter. He started out in a punk band,
sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Moved on to the alt-country scene or country music, depending on how you look at what was going on.
Produced
there.
An album by Willie Nelson.
Whatever he's attempted to do, either the rock and roll and Love Is Hell era, where he was kind of doing the sort of New York rock. It was like he was listening to the Strokes and trying to make records that sounded like that or old 80s rock and roll.
Well, yeah, I mean the 80s thing. He's always had a Smiths deal, too.
Yeah, totally. Or I hear a ton of, this is going to sound weird, but the last two records, Aaron Neville. I hear a ton of that sort of vibrato-y soulfulness, and that's not a criticism. I think it's...
Well, he can do that falsetto thing. I hear what you're saying.
Ryan does whatever Ryan wants to do and does it pretty well. I think that's where I've been kind of lost. I haven't been able to keep up because he's done so much stuff. Like, my favorite record is Heartbreaker, or I listen to Gold still. I still have some of the Whiskey Town stuff that I'll listen to. But the last couple, I couldn't keep up with his pace. But it seems like he's finally, now with the sobriety, he's found his voice. These last two have been pretty consistent. They sound like each other. It seems like he's got this great band, and they groove so well, and they play so well, and he's writing as well as he probably ever has. My one complaint is that it's still sort of a situation where I feel like he needs an editor or a producer that he really trusts to test what material he's using. His band is so good, and he's such a good singer that they can do whatever they do really well, and it sounds great. But does it mean that it's worth releasing? The mellower stuff is the stuff that I enjoyed most, specifically Crossed Out Name.
I wish I could tell you just how I felt. I don't pray, I shower and say goodnight to myself. And when I close my eyes, I feel like a page with a crossed out name.
Yeah. Ryan Adams is a soulful dude.
He can sell a song.
Maybe one of my problems with this album is that I'm on Ryan Adams' burnout a little bit. I wish that it had been 4 years since he had released something when I listened to this, because like I said, I appreciate what's going on here. Maybe in 20 years somebody will tell me that I should have appreciated him more.
Yeah, it's funny here we're talking about Ryan Adams' burnout, and it's been a whole year since his last album, but that's not very much music from Ryan compared to what we were getting in the earlier 2000s when he put out the Jacksonville City Lights and Gold and all those albums between like 2001 and 2004 or 5, and the label couldn't keep up with them, and it was just insane.
I don't think anybody could have stopped him anyway. I can't even imagine trying to be his producer. I don't think that you could even stop him.
Apparently, I've been reading that this is might well be his last album for the Lost Highway label, and he wants to dump using the Ryan Adams name, and it's just going to be called the Cardinals from here on out. We're not sure of that at this point, but it looks like that's what...
Seems like it's really a band effort, and I don't know. I think maybe that this is a sleeper too. Maybe as a bigger fan, you could probably tell me. I have a sneaking suspicion that this is, because it's subtle, and it's a little more mellow. I mean, other than the couple big rockers on there, I feel like this is a vibe record that I could get into after a couple of listens and really find that I appreciate this over a long haul.
It's Ryan Adams and the Cardinals with the new album Cardinology. You're listening to Music Heads, presented by 89.38 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. The Broken West are a band from Los Angeles that formed back in 2004. Their initial moniker was The Broke Down, which they changed due to legal concerns with another band with a similar name. Their first album was called I Can't Go On, I'll Go On, and featured the single Down in the Valley, which was featured on Grey's Anatomy. They played the major festivals and opened for Fountains of Wayne and The National. Much of their music is a moody mix of harmonies and jangly guitars. It makes you think of bands like Big Star and The Birds. The Broken West sophomore album is Now or Heaven. They appear to be branching out a bit on this one. Here's a song called Perfect Games.
We could be right in every wrong.
Broken West. The new album is Now or Heaven. Dave Campbell, is this working for you?
No.
Whoa,
not at all.
Ouch.
I was really excited about listening to this because I had read some stuff about him, and you know, I'd heard Auctioneer, and I like most of the bands that people compare this band to. I love the Big Star stuff.
I love
the Birds. I'm so on the Spoon, which is why I didn't like this record. And I mistakenly downloaded the previous album and listened to a little bit of, let's see, what's it called? I Can't Go On, I'll Go On.
So I've never heard that album, but I have a feeling
beautiful.
I would like that. I think I would like that album more than I like this one, too.
It is. You hear the Teenage Fan Club. You hear the Beachwood Sparks stuff. They're not the Beachwood Sparks, and they're not Teenage Fan Club. Let me be clear about that. So if you're fans of those bands and you're going to track them down because of that, I would hesitate and listen before you buy. This was a huge disappointment for me. I cannot say that enough. This was like Disney indie rock. It was like the Jonas Brothers are going to make an album in 5 years, and this is what it will sound
like.
That's
pretty harsh.
I thought it was terrible. I thought it was embarrassing because it's whiny and gutless and sad.
Yeah.
And normally I'm pretty conservative about slamming bands, but I thought this was just terrible. And I realized the reason that I don't like it is the singer. More often than not, what he was saying or how he was singing, although he was remarkably versatile. That's the one compliment I'll pay him. And
that's actually a pretty nice compliment.
And the compliment that I have for the band, I thought that the records sound really good. Both the previous one and this album, Now or Heaven, I think they're really talented. They make great sounds and they put songs together really well. But man, ugh, I did not like this at all.
Yeah, they seem like they're kind of in the transitional mode on this album, I will admit, because it seems like it's kind of a mixed bag of different stuff. And you know, I'm reading about them. Their early work is more jangly pop stuff, and they try to branch out a little bit, and I don't know how well it worked. Jill, is this working for you?
Not at all. And I couldn't figure out if I was in a bad mood when I listened to it. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get past track 3, and I thought it was just me, but it's not just me, apparently.
No, it's really annoying.
Ooh, boy.
I don't know. It's just, to me, it's really generic. I think that Auctioneer is catchy. I think that Perfect Game song is catchy, but I almost want to personally blame bands like this for ruining the idea of a good album. When they throw out names like we listen to the Beatles or our influences are like Birds and Big Star, those are some pretty big names to be dropping for what I'm hearing. So when I sit down and listen to this as an album, I want to stay interested. But if there's only a couple songs that really stick out to me, I mean, you know, make a couple singles, you know, put your best effort into just making a couple of singles. And I felt like the rest of it was a lot of filler.
But I don't think this record is bad, as you guys are saying. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say this is a, you know, top 10 material for the year. But there are a few moments that I think are pretty all right. I kind of enjoyed track number one, When Now and Then. It had kind of a jumpy beatbox right out of the gate and some atmospheric, similar to War on Drugs. So I thought that was all right. And another track I sort of liked too was Ambuscane, track number 4. It's kind of a moody mid-tempo deal and great pulsating percussion grooves going on. There's shakers and woodblocks, similar to The Walkman. I thought that track was all right too, though not as edgy. A sophomore slump is what I'm going to call it. Look out for the third album. They might kind of figure out where they want to be and what they want to do and fully, you know, figure out where they need to be on the next album.
They've got skills, I think, and what I heard on the first record and even this one. This reeks of like a big, like a major label you know, Spoon sold some records, let's go out and find another Spoon. Well, that's what this smells like to me, but it's not. It's merged, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the small labels now, the independent labels, are the new big labels, and this reminds me of what the big labels are trying to do back in 1994 when alternative rock was the mode. You know, when that was everybody was looking for the new Nirvana, the new this or that, and there was a lot of mediocre music that got pawned off as being alternative when it wasn't really anything at all.
Ugly Kid Joe.
Nice example.
I was going to say Stone Temple Pilots, but I'm going to go out on a limb here, expose myself as love some Stone Temple Pilots songs. I'm going to say it, but I did not like Ugly Kid Joe. I didn't need to hear it. Actually, when I was 18, I didn't really care.
It's The Broken West, the new album, Now or Heaven. You're listening to Music Heads, presented by 89.3, The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Of Montreal is the vehicle of Kevin Barnes. He founded the group in Athens, Georgia. They formed in the mid-90s, releasing their first album in 97, and have consistently released an album a year ever since, which is unheard of these days. The latest is a challenging affair called Skeletal Lamping. Kevin Barnes works under the guise of a black transsexual named Georgie Fruit. These transformations seem to come easily from Mr. Barnes, who's been doing this sort of thing for years. He seamlessly has gone from a lo-fi indie rocker to a very quirky prog pop star, and now he's a glam funk loony who soaked up the sounds of early Prince and Ziggy Stardust era Bowie. Skeletal Lamping is a whimsical roller coaster ride featuring 15 very fragmented tracks. Kevin Barnes' songs seem to be about three things: sex, androgyny, and going crazy. And here's a tune from the album called An Awardian Instance.
And after searching for some first-time high, I know it's all about perceptions. Did I accept you as my very first mover?
Of Montreal, the new album is Skeletal Lamping. Jill Riley, is this working for you?
Oh, I can't say what I want to say. Holy cow, I'll say. It does completely work for me because I haven't been...
It's working!
It's working! It's working. I haven't been that engaged or that just disconnected from reality for what is the album about an hour long. I was gone in another world, and then I came back within an hour, and it totally worked.
No drugs required.
No, there wasn't. I wish that I wouldn't have listened to this by myself, though. This would have been a fun group setting for an album. There's some albums that I just like to listen to with other people, and this would have been one of them, just to see everybody else's reaction.
I don't know. I'd be a little embarrassed to have this on at a party. How about you, Dave? Is it working for you?
Ah, I love this record. I'm going to go out tomorrow, and I don't know. I think I have one or two of Montreal albums from working at the store that, you know, you get a promo or something, and I maybe liked or listened to that I kept, but I've not spent a lot of time with this band. But I'm going to go out tomorrow and pick up everything I don't have. I think this is hilarious. The one criticism, as I read a little bit about him, is that they say that he might be pretentious. I think this guy is just 100% weird. Either intentionally weird because he likes being weird and gets off on being kind of the different person, or just naturally odd.
I think he's naturally odd, and one of my favorite things about Of Montreal are the very strange song titles.
Right.
Like, they have nothing to do with what's going on in the song, but they kind of make me laugh, and they kind of make me go, whoever thought that up is totally weird. And
who doesn't like that?
No, and I like it.
Rock
and roll loves weirdos. I get a kick out of it, and I didn't listen to Of Montreal until Satanic Panic in the Attic, until that came out. So I haven't gone back further, and that's probably on my list of things to do. And I think that I've been inspired by this album to kind of just go back in time and listen to how he has evolved.
As far as this record goes, it's funny. It's 100% weird. It totally grooves, and you can dance to almost every track is like a dance track, at least in some portion. And by the way, I love the little pieces. Some of the songs are
it's like really,
three
really
very
fragment.
Distinct fragments. Or
I mean, nine
of
songs
song.
In one track?
Yeah, totally. It's totally unpredictable. It's a drug record. It's a weed record. It's a road record. It's got hooks like 10 times a song, something different, and sometimes the same thing, and it's totally sexy. I think that this is definitely one that you would pick up and maybe not be tired of for a while. I can see how some people it would be irritating to. So if you're not into some repetition or you're not into silliness, you're not going to like this album. But if you like some of those other things that I was just talking about, this might be a great record for you.
It has its moments. You know, I like the track number 5 there, which we touched on earlier. And another one, well, track number 3, how about that? For Our Elegant Cast, is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Recalls early Prince, possibly, with lyrics like, "We can do it softcore."
If you want.
We can do it softcore.
And that makes me laugh completely, and I'm entertained by that kind of thing. I'm sorry.
What about this one? Maybe I blow you whatever kind of kisses you want.
This song is one big double entendre, or is it?
Completely. You don't even know. It's some of it's vulgar, but it couldn't be more different than the other two records that we talked about on the show today. These are albums where it's, you know, the artist or the singer especially is exposing like a really raw and emotional element, and this guy is like just a freak show, and I mean that's a compliment. That's a great thing, and it's so playful and fun. But if you're looking for something that's serious, this is maybe not the thing for you. This is totally irreverent.
I'm okay with this album. I think though he's never shaken the idea that he sold his song to Outback and he's trying to grab his cred back. I think that, you know, when they
used
that Wraith Pinned to the Mist song.
No, but they changed the words.
They changed the words, but I think he's embarrassed by that, and he wishes that he wouldn't have done it. And he's trying very hard to shake that. I think he wishes he didn't do it at all.
That was worth it, though? That incredible stage show that I hear about, where they have the extended stage and all these costumes and everything. Like, whatever they made on that was worth it. Outback is paying for that. And all those people that are Montreal fans get to see this incredible show
Which was sold out, by the way.
And all I've heard is how amazing it was.
And I don't really think that he sold out by doing that.
No, I don't think so either.
So many bands didn't have any money. Yeah, I mean, that's how...
The label's not paying you. People aren't buying CDs. You can't rely on your fans to support you financially other than buy a t-shirt maybe. You know, they're going to take the record. Outback's paying the bills. And if that gets you on the road and gets you doing fun shows with the equipment that you need to do a great show, I say go for it.
Can't help it if it's true. Don't want to be a man. Just want to play with you.
I want to thank Jill Riley and Dave Campbell. Thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Bill.
You're more than welcome. In this episode, we discussed Of Montreal and the new skeletal lamping effort, The Broken West's Now or Heaven, and Ryan Adams and the Cardinals' Cardinology. Spend Music Heads, thanks for checking it out. Subscribe to the podcast of the show by clicking on Music Heads when you go to thecurrent.org. The program is produced by Steve Seal. Michael Wells is the podcast production coordinator, and Julia Schwenkler manages the show's online discussion, which we want you to be a part of. Go to thecurrent.org, look for Music Heads, then follow the links to join the discussion. I'm Bill DeVille from 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. Music Heads, is it working for you?
Right.